Hallelujah. Welcome to this week's teaching by Exchange Church Belfast. Our heart at Exchange is for you to experience a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and to thrive in life. If you want to call by for a Sunday service, we'd love for you to join us at 10:30 a.m. for a wee cuppa, followed by worship from 11. You can also connect with us via our Facebook page, Exchange Church Belfast, our Twitter at Exchange Church, our Vimeo, exchangechurch.tv, and our website, of course, exchangechurchbelfast.com. And it would be great to hear from you. Now, over to this week's talk.
So get your Bibles out, because I want to encourage you. Isn't it great to be in the presence of Jesus this morning, isn't it? And as you listen to the Word this morning, there's encouragement for you. And there's life for you this morning, because I'm speaking to you. And over the summer, we're going to be talking about faith. And what the Lord said to me in the last few months is it's great to sit in grace, because there's no other gospel. Isn't that right? I mean, there's just the gospel is, the words are interchangeable, actually, when you go back. Gospel is grace. And when we think about grace, it's the unmerited, undeserved favor of Jesus in your life. It's the only, there's no other message. And anytime you try to live in any other message and mix them up, you nullify, you take away the power of the gospel. And so what we have to do is we have to discover in our lives that actually our journey is not about achieving more, it's about resting more. It's not about doing more, it's about trusting more. And the more that we can trust in His goodness and His love, the more we will see the fruit of it in our lives. And the Lord spoke to me, I introduced this last week, so I'm going to get straight in. It's about, do you have the faith to actually possess what grace has provided? Because I don't know about you, I don't want to live continually like a carrot dangled somewhere in front of my face. You get that? It's tiring, it's frustrating. And the Lord said, actually, for our church and for you, that this summer is really important. We're not going to just switch off and kind of coast through. In fact, one of the things that I really want to encourage you to do is to feed every day. And the reason why I said it's important to feed is what you feed on will be the fruit that comes out, okay? And if you're struggling, here's the way to look at it. If you struggle in a particular area, the question I would ask you to think about is, what are you feeding on? Do you struggle in money, all right? Never having enough, not able to give, whatever it happens to be. If that's the case, ask yourself the question, what am I feeding on? Because if it's not producing the fruit in your life, then you need to feed on something different. And I would say this church is in the stream of grace. You know, Pastor Prince is where I feed. I'm unashamed about that. It's who I listen to for my edification and my building up. And I would encourage you to do the same. I promise you this, and it is absolutely critical that you hear me in this, is what you feed on today, what you put into yourself today, spiritually speaking, is what you will need 3, 4, 5, 6 months from now. There's absolutely no point in waiting till the waves are crashing over your head to try to figure out what you need to do. As you feed on the Lord and as you feed on good, on the message of grace, there will be strength and fruit. I mean, Patricia had a brilliant testimony last week, didn't she? It's like not even looking for healing. Come on. And the Lord's healing her. Like, isn't that crazy? Cancerous thing in the eye, and that's too small for you, Lord. And just feeding on the gospel, feeding on Jesus and his finished work, and she was healed from that cancerous thing. The doctor said it's gone away. Because that's what it means when you have Jesus at the center, goodness comes up all around you. All right? So do that. Do that over the summer. Do it in the September. But let's get started. There's 70 talks, one a day. Oh, my goodness. And that would take you up to, well, I don't know, 70 days from now, whenever that is. I can't count. So I want to go real quick. So I want to encourage you just with one thought, okay, about how to possess. And it's a thought that will encourage you, I hope. And I'm going to take from Joshua, and from Joshua chapter 3. So if you want to turn that up in your Bible, if you have it. Because I'm absolutely convinced that faith to possess, we need to reprogram and recalibrate what we think that actually means. Because the way that I was brought up was that faith was about me and my ability to believe. And I always found myself getting into a cycle of defeat, because faith can be one of the most legalistic, load-bearing things that the church puts onto people. I told the story last week, do you have enough faith to be healed? Do you have faith to be healed? And I thought, you moron, I'm going to nut you. I'm standing here having made myself vulnerable, I didn't say it out loud, but it was in my head, as I'm standing here making myself vulnerable in front of everyone, and you're not asking me to receive, you're challenging me. And I remember just thinking, oh, sweet Lord above, this is going to be awkward. This is going to be the first time in a prayer line that people in the prayer line have actually, headbutted the person who's doing the praying. Imagine having that on your CV. But I remember feeling really frustrated, going, I don't really know where my heart is. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. Can I just be honest about that? But what I do know is that I need the Lord. Amen. All right? And when I started to look, you can see this the whole way through the Bible. I'm not saying that your response to grace is not important. Of course it is. The Lord loves that. But your faith is actually even a misnomer, because faith is always about Him. Though a very word means God-breathed, God-given ability to be persuaded. All right? So you don't create faith in any way. The Lord creates faith. There's only one word for it in the Word. Every other word that we translate as faith is actually unbelief or belief on a scale. Four different words for believing, one word for faith. And that word pistis, I'm going to talk about it, all right? It sounded almost French. I'm getting into a mood, isn't it? Pistis, allô, allô. And bonjour, Rodney. And what was I saying? Yes, there's only one word for it. Okay? And what we're going to see is that it is grace that supplies, and faith brings in that which grace has already provided for you. Your faith actually doesn't, in the sense of it, move God in any way. I'm pushing some arbitrary lines here with people to go, it's Jesus at the center or it's nothing. All right? And that's what we're going to talk about. Because in Joshua chapter 3, what you find is this, is that the Lord had taken them out of Egypt. Remember, our church is all about people are encountering God, growing in God, discovering their purpose and thriving. In Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, the Lord said, so therefore to the people of Israel, He said, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, deliver you. I will deliver you from slavery. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, and I will, with great acts of judgment, I will take you to be my people. You see how even back in those days, the Lord's view of it was, this is what I'm going to do for you. I am the Lord, you're not. I am the one with the power to deliver, you don't have it. I am the one who will show you, and with my arm, I will bring you through. So even back right in Exodus, right in the Old Testament, the Lord is showing you that it's His work to do it. And so it's always going to be about grace. And so this is where the people of Israel have come out from. And actually, as they get to the land of Canaan, there's a big obstacle in their way. I just want to talk about this today, just to show you how they are going to possess. What was it at the very beginning where the Lord said, I have done this. Now, how are you going to possess it? And it was all about Jesus first. All right? So I want to encourage you for your life today to go, what is it that you're waiting for? What is it that you're longing for? What is it that you're saying, Lord, I want to possess this because your grace says that you have provided it for me. You get it? And what we're going to see is the Lord shows Joshua. Joshua, actually, the same root of the word where we get Yeshua, is the root is like a type of Jesus, okay, in the way that he conducts. But you're going to see something today which I think is just lovely. All right? For some of you, it'll be a reminder. For some of you, it will set the tone to go, if I am trying to possess that which was given by grace by any other way, that's why I'm frustrated. All right? So in Joshua chapter 3, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. All right? There's a whole sense of this. The one that the law was given to is dead. Now, therefore, go arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. So what happens? In Numbers chapter 13, we see that they send some spies out to the land. It says in Numbers 13, to send men out to spy in the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one, a chief among them. So you have 12 guys who are sent out. Now, they all look the same. They all talk the same. And up until this point, they all have the same experience. Now, what's really interesting is I want you to think about not just your life, but the church. Because up to this point, you don't see a difference when you look from the outside. That's what I'm trying to say. And actually, sometimes even with church and with the gathering of God's people, because it all looks, we kind of all look the same, don't we, from the outside looking in. But what we're going to say is the difference in order to have faith to possess is on the inside of you. Because in Numbers 13:27, I'm going real quick today, it says, they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey. This is Joshua and Caleb. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. All right? So it's this view. I want to encourage you, if you want to have faith, right, to see the goodness of God flow in your life, you have to believe to the potential of the message that you sit under. Okay? That's why it's important that you feed well. Because you will only believe to the potential of the message that you put into yourself. If you put mixture in, you will only live to that potential. If you sit under the pure, unadulterated grace of God, it causes you to actually have your heart expand to believe to the potential of the message that you sit under. That's why it's important that you feed well. Does that make sense? And so if so far up to your life, you've been mixing it up a wee bit, can I really encourage you? Get focused. It's what the Lord is speaking to us as a church. Because as you get focused and feed, you will see fruit and increase and breakthrough that you're not seeing right now. Because your heart only expands to the potential of the message that you sit under. Okay? And so what you see here is that when these guys are looking into the land, all right, they see challenges. But actually, when it comes to faith, what we see is the Lord saying, I have given you this land. So on the outside, all these men look the same. But the Lord has already spoken to them and said, I've given you this. I don't know how you feel about grace. I don't know how you feel about Jesus this morning. But the truth of it is, everything that you require, everything that you need, the Lord says, I have given it to you. And it wasn't because of you. Before you took a breath, were a glint in anybody's eye, I had called you for purpose and already provided. I have given it to you. All right? Now, how do we possess? Because the truth of it is, outside of the pure, unadulterated grace of Jesus, all right, we will find ourselves being robbed. And so there's something just about I want to encourage you with this morning. Because whatever your future is, Jesus says, if you're going to possess it, you have to start to see it as it's already done. And what we see here in Joshua and Caleb, okay, is a different spirit. I'm not going to talk about this today. I'm going to come back to it. There's a different spirit because in Numbers 14, it's that Lord actually says, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit, has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land to which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. So what the Lord says is this, if you want to possess, you can't have the same spirit as the world. You can't have the same spirit as law. You have to have a spirit of grace. Because when the Lord looked, he didn't say, he's a better spirit, he's a better guy, he's fitter, he's more able, he has more experience. He looked and he said, him and his descendants are going to possess because he has a spirit which is about the challenges that I see in my life are not measured in terms of what I can do, but because of what he has said. You get that? And the more you, I'm going to keep saying it, the more you feed and the more Jesus increases in you, the more that's what spirit comes out. When you fill your mind with what he has done, who he is, how he loves you, that spirit grows in you. And when the Lord looks at that, he goes, that's what will possess. Now what happens, I absolutely love this story, and that's the difference between law and grace. It's not what it looks like on the outside, it's what it looks like in the inside. We'll have people who we'll meet along the way, and we may look the same, but actually the Lord says that it's your spirit that will make the difference in possession. You have the spirit of Jesus, and the spirit of grace comes to you and says, is it about, do you view everything the way everyone else does, or do you see it through the lens of what I've done? Which one is it? You have to reflect on that for yourself and go, probably for all of us, it's which bit of our lives or which areas do we struggle to really possess? So let's get to Joshua 3. That's a quick sort of summary because they're ready to go. Okay, they're camped right in front of difficulty, and they seem utterly helpless, all right? Because you're going to see how, at the very start of going into blessing, the Lord shows us the pattern for how we possess by faith. Because they're facing big difficulty. What is it in your life that seems completely impossible? What is it in your life that you keep coming up against? that even under grace so far you've gone, I haven't seen the breakthrough in it? What are those areas even where, if it's not about breaking through some stuff, where you want to see increase in? What are they? Because for all, unless you're sitting there going, oh, I'm actually, you wouldn't believe I'm so fulfilled this morning, Pastor, I could float on a cloud of glory and just, you know, anyone like that this morning? Because if you are, could you come up and preach and I'll receive from that anointed spirit? Actually, because what happens is the river's in full flood. So they're on the other side. The Lord has already said, that's yours. Go get it. I've already given it to you. 10 of the guys go, no, thank you. One guy goes, I've got a different spirit. Joshua and Caleb, they look at it and go, well, if he's already given it to us, how are we going to walk in and possess? So, but the thing is, they've got this whole country behind them called Israel, and they are faced with an utterly helpless situation because the river, the Jordan River, is completely in full flood. So Joshua, it says, set up early in the morning. They set out from Shittim. Schoolboy in me just laughs. And came to the Jordan. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you can't help it. You see that? It's like a naughty word. Do you know what I mean? Wish they'd call it something else. Went out from Shittim and came to the Jordan. He and all the, oh, come on, laugh. Don't be so po-faced. And there, they lodged before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. Now, it's interesting that the people of Israel had to wait 3 days at the shore of the River Jordan. You read that in Joshua 1:1, all right? It's going to be interesting, 3 days. I want you to think about that because it's a picture of Christ and how he leads us into victory, all right? Now, what happens here is all the talk of God giving things to you might seem really hollow when you're standing in front of something and going, that doesn't move, that doesn't shift. I have sat and I have heard all the stories for the people of Israel would have been told year after year. But here I am again facing an obstacle which I cannot, there's nothing in me. I have no power in me, no matter what I think, to change this. I can't get my health, okay? I can't get my financial breakthrough. I can't see an increase and a healing in somebody else's heart to restore relationship. There's nothing in my power to do that. How frustrating is that in terms of a way to live? Isn't it? Yeah, it's frustrating. And that's where these guys are standing physically. They're in this place. And, you know, it's seemingly impossible obstacle blocking the way. Now, what happens is they're told to wait 3 days. A picture of Christ crucified and resurrected, okay? That's the whole point. And then the Lord says something really incredible to them. He says this, as soon as you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, you shall set out from your place and you shall follow it. Now, what do we know that the ark is? The ark is the picture of Jesus, all right? So I need you to think, because it wasn't just a case of get that out in front. Remember through the whole Centered series, the whole reason why the Lord, actually he designed the tabernacle from the ark out. So the first instructions were for the ark and then everything else was built around the ark. You probably don't remember that, but you should go back and listen because it was a great series. But that's what I told you. The first instructions that the Lord gives are for the ark. The ark is the picture of the finished work. It's a picture of Jesus. And what the Lord says is, if you want to possess what goes out in front, what are your eyes and what was your attention on? Because he says to the people, it might seem impossible to you, but as soon as you see Jesus, follow him. Do you get that? What's it like for you? In the middle of your world, what are you following? Because you will only believe to the potential of that which you put your eyes to, that which you fill your life with. And he says this, as soon as you see him. Because you imagine for the people, they would have been spread out in their thousands. They would have been all over the place, camping, wondering what's going on, seeing the officers go through the camp. And it wasn't like, you're going to follow me because I'm an officer. Follow me because I've got a good opinion of what we should do. Because it didn't matter what they said, they were never getting over that water. They were never getting into the land. Which puts me, I love airplanes, you see. So I'm one of those guys who stops when you see an airplane and points. You know, still, how does that stay up there? So every time I hear, I'm slightly distracted. So isn't it interesting? So there's nothing they can do. So what actually Joshua said is this, as soon as you see the Lord, though, follow him. That's why when you feed well, you will see Jesus. And when you see Jesus revealed and you get to know more of who he is, follow what he says. Act on what you hear. Fill your heart with that and you will believe to that potential. You see, the thing is, if I had been an officer in that camp, and it's funny, this is what Christians do. even under, I'm going to say this, even like there's tons of people out there preaching all sorts of stuff. And in a sense, they, Jesus is kind of mentioned, but he's kind of off the side. There's lots of principles and good stuff. And you know what? I'm not knocking anybody, but I find it really hard to follow that. Honestly, I do. And actually, the more sometimes I see under the surface, I see the gaps, and then I feel this. That was my life before I got the gospel of grace. Having people preach things at me, then seeing up close and going, you're a million miles away from that. So if it doesn't work for you, it's not going to work for me. You see, the Lord says, when you see me, follow me. When you see me, follow me. I'm going to go out in front. It's actually this picture of Jesus saying, I've provided it for you. Your financial breakthrough, it's done.
Hallelujah.
It's absolutely there. All the work you need, it's already there. All the healing you need, it's already there. But you're not going to get it yourself. You're going to see me, and I am going to walk you right into it. Amen. That's why we feed well. And so this is where I'm getting excited. I need to keep going. So Jesus is going to lead them, all right? He's going to lead them right through the middle of the challenges. And it's this incredible, and it's in my last church, this was badly abused, this verse, actually. Every place that you set your foot, you will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses, all right? Now, what I love about promise is this. It's a word in Greek, it's promittere, if you really want to get clever. Promittere means this: I have already sent it forward into your future. So promise means I've already done it and it's in your future. Promise doesn't mean now, it means for the step that you need to take. All right? Promittere, all right? So that's the root of this word. And so what happens is it says, here's the ark. They would be about 1,000 yards away, actually. So the point was, Jesus was right in front of them all, and every man, woman, and child had the chance to look at him. So it wasn't like the ark was right at the front. They put 1,000 yards. That's a whole lot. That's, what, half a mile, is it, roughly? In front, all right? And it's that picture. I mean, there's so many layers in this. It's that picture of, you know, we sometimes think Jesus is just a little bit close to what's going on. He's miles in front of where we are. Does that not give you, do you know what? He's at the end of your week coming in. You're at the start of it. He's at the end of it. And he says, promittere, I've already sent it for you. Because I love you and I'm good. And from the very beginning, I said I would lead you in. You would be my people. I would bless you. I would hold you. I would deliver you. I would walk you in. And you are mine. So go and inherit. Amen. We've got to have faith to possess this stuff. And the more I get rid of my faith and I start to receive his faith, oh man, all of a sudden it's a different game. And so what does he say to us? He says this very quick. He says, everywhere that you've put the soles of your feet. Now, look at this in verse 8. It says, as for you, command the priests, those who bear the ark. You know, in priests in the old days, as you would remember, stood and they ministered. We are all priests. All right? Do you get that? So when you hear, as for you, the priests who bear the ark, just think, he's talking to you now and going, you're the priest. You stand right in the presence of God today because of Jesus. And you bear the Ark of the Covenant, is what those did. You bear Jesus. Do you get that? You have Jesus. You carry Jesus with you. That's the point. So he says, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in it. Remember, I love this. So the waters are the challenges that block them from inheriting. The water is the impossibility. The water is the thing that separates them because in their own estimation, there ain't no way of getting across it. All right? And what the Lord says is, see you people of grace, Exchange Church Belfast, you who carry Jesus with you, when you come to the challenge, when you come to the thing that you think separates you, stand there and put me in front.
Hallelujah.
Because where do you see what he's going to do? Amen. He doesn't say, try your best, get in up to your waist and have a go. He doesn't say, send the wee ones that you don't really like. See you. You go and see if you can get across. And if you make it, sure, dead on. But with any volunteers, right, brilliant, on you go. Tie a rope around your leg and all that. He doesn't say that. He says, when you get to the watershed, stop. Stand still. All right? It's like you're carrying Jesus with you. And what do you do when you come to those things that won't move? He says, stop trying to do it in your own effort and just stand there. And do you know what? It takes faith to stand. Because they actually had to go in a little bit in order for something incredible to happen. Wouldn't it be brilliant if we could stand a little bit far off and go, Lord, this is grace and it's awesome. Could you just bless me? And the Lord says, well, why don't you take a move towards that which you want to possess? Oh, no, no, hold on a minute. I don't want to do that. I'd rather stay 10 miles away from the Jordan and have you build a bridge for me. And when I get a report that the bridge is built and it's robust, then I'll maybe walk across it. And the Lord says, no, I've already given it to you. Will you stand? Will you get your ankles just in a bit? What he's saying is, don't be afraid. You can face straight into that difficulty, and then when it's in front of you, just wait till you see what the Lord does. Oh, come on. Anyone encouraged this morning? This is where faith begins. You're carrying Jesus. You're carrying Jesus into the things that separate you today. But because you bring Jesus, he will deliver. And wait till you see what happens. I love this. And Joshua tells the people, Yeshua is the same root, tells the people, and then the soles of their feet of the priests bearing the ark of the Lord, all right? So you and me, the priests before God today, bringing Jesus with us, the Lord of all the earth. It's interesting when you look at this, all right? It's like, here's a little bit of the earth that's causing you a difficulty. Sometimes we just read this stuff and kind of think, they said this because they had nothing else to say. He's trying to tell you something this morning. The little bit of this Jordan in the whole totality of the earth was just a wee thing, wasn't it? So what's their declaration? Because we're going to talk about this. Their declaration was, I'm bringing the Lord of it all. The Lord of all the earth is the one that I carry. So this little bit will be subjugated to my feet. Because he's the Lord of it all. It wasn't, here's the Lord of the River Jordan. Here's the Lord of Egypt. Here's the Lord of Canaan. It's the Lord of all the earth. So this little bit of it's not going to be a problem for him because it's all his. All right? And so what happens is then, the Lord of all the earth, they shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. Now notice he doesn't say, go out into the middle and figure it out in your own strength. Doesn't say, go out into your own ability. He says, stand still. And some of us need to stop trying and stand still today, bearing Jesus into the water. Because what happens is this, I love it. Did I tell you I was in Israel once? Did I mention that? Kyle's been to Singapore, but it's not as good as Egypt. That's what I'm saying, all right? Or is Israel flipping north? I've done it again. My life group are going to laugh at that one. Look at them all smiling. I can see you. I've actually been here, all right? And do you know what I love? Do you know what I love? Every obstacle that comes against you, all right? Everything that had claim against you was rooted in sin and rebellion, okay? Every legal right that the enemy had to come and to accuse you was rooted in your sin, all right? But look what happens, and this is a real place. When you carry Jesus, all right? And the things that step, oh, this is so good. When you carry Jesus and you bear him and you put your feet into the very thing that's separating you, you think it is, what does he do? He rolls back everything to Adam. The town is called Adam. But the picture for you and me is every bit of condemnation, every bit of sin, every bit of disease, every bit of sickness, every bit of dysfunction. Whenever you stand your feet in it, carrying Jesus, it's rolled back right to the very beginning where it all went wrong in the first place. Jesus, when he comes across anything, rolls it right back to the root of the issue, which was sin and rebellion and condemnation, and he stands it on a heap. Why? So that then you can walk straight through into Canaan, into the land of your promise. Isn't that awesome? Some of us need to remember that today. Some of us need to remember that that's how we possess. We carry Jesus. We put him in our view. When we see him, we follow him. When you get that revelation in your heart about money and you want to see breakthrough, when you hear him about your giving, follow him. You'll stand there and you'll shake at times, but I'm telling you now, the condemnation of working that out has been rolled back to the original sin, and so that you are free. Isn't that good? That's what he asks you to do. That's what he calls you to do. And he says this, you will stand there. And things that are impossible today, this is what I love about grace, unmerited, undeserved favor. Things that you cannot see today, can I promise you this, he is good and he is faithful. And you're going to stand facing the things that so far have faced you down with a faith not in me, but a faith in Jesus in me. I'm looking at Jesus. He's going before me. I'm bearing him. I'm carrying him. And in the right time, the Lord just rolls it right back. Somebody give me a good amen. And so that's why I feel excited, because I felt the Lord say to me, some of us, heck, scratch that, all of us, in this next 6 months, in 18, we are going to see grace upon grace and glory to glory in Jesus' name. I speak it and I believe it over this church. Our purpose is becoming clear, to bring people to that place where they bear his work, they bear his promise, they bear his grace, and we will see people delivered through that have been stuck on the other side for too long. Amen? And you're going to see it too. As the Lord does it in you, this is what the Lord spoke to me. It's time to have faith in Jesus, to walk into that which he has provided by grace. Amen? Amen? So when you see him, follow him. This summer, when you feed on him, follow him. And you will find yourself, I promise you this. What I love about this is, can you imagine them standing there? I would have felt like a wee bit of a wally. You know, you'd be going, right, so the Lord said to stand here. And, you know, what's going to happen? You see, Adam's about 20 miles up the road. All right? So sometimes it takes a little bit of time. Because physically that river just didn't, you know, dry up. We'd like it. Wouldn't that be awesome? Dip my toe in. Oh, look. He said, stand there. And the water started to roll all the way back. I love that picture. Rolled all the way back to Adam. That which would overwhelm you. That which would sink you. That which would condemn you. Can you imagine? It's a picture of condemnation, folks. I stand in front of things and I can't see them move, and so therefore I feel like I'm not good enough. That's what happens, plays in our lives. I'm not good enough. How could I ever see this breakthrough? I'm not strong enough. And the Lord goes, no, you're not. You know, in Psalm 46, he says, rest and be still. Okay, harpu is that word. It says, you know, sink, relax, cease from striving and experience me. Amen. Amen. I promise you this. That the faith that you need, the faith, the battle of faith, the only battle of faith, is to be convinced of your righteousness. That's the only time you're asked to strive, is to go to that place of, I am righteous. That's the good fight of faith. You do not need to have faith for anything else, because he has faith enough for it for you. Do you get that? And faith in righteousness in Jesus will unlock it in every other area. So the battle is about that. So we're going to talk about that, but I want to hope you're encouraged today. Amen. Because I honestly believe if you've got an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, then hear. Because what he's saying to you is, enough is enough is enough of standing there letting the river torment you. Faith in grace is about Jesus in front and us bearing him and bearing him and carrying him. All right? I think whenever that's a good foundation, then we're good to talk about how you appropriate. You see, I think outside of the foundation of Jesus alone, whenever faith is mentioned, it becomes law. That's the truth. Because there's still that thing in us of, what do I do? What do I need to do? You know, it's not even what's my response, it's what do I do? Response and doing are two different things. You get that? That's maybe too deep for some of you because it's flipping melting in here, isn't it? Wrap me in tinfoil. I could have lost a couple of stone this morning preaching. All right, cling film. I'll give you nightmares at the thought of it. Do you get that? Feed really well over these next few weeks, folks. It will seem so counterintuitive to you. In every situation where you're thinking, seriously, I need to be doing, I'd have to do something, at least if I do something, then something will happen. The truth of it is that what the Lord says is sink, relax, and cease to strive and rest in my love. And if you have faith for that, he will roll the water back. And you will start to see you inheriting all that he has. Isn't he good? Isn't Jesus good? Amen.